Minehead Baptist Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, the 8th of September, 2019. Hello and welcome. Thank you once again for joining me. My name's James and I'm the web guy here at MBC. This week, Alec Prail spoke on Do Not Let Your Hearts Be Troubled. The two readings are John chapter 14, verses 1 to 6, and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. So we'll hear the readings and then Alec will start the sermon.
Reading from John's Gospel. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, so that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting at verse 13, the coming of the Lord. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep, or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring Jesus, those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and who are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. Amen.
And as Alex comes to bring us God's word, I just want to pray for my brother Alec and... Come and join me. Alec, we just thank you for your love for Jesus, and we thank you that Jesus' love is evident within you. And we just pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit, Lord, on you as you bring God's message. And we pray for the Holy Spirit's anointing on us as we hear and receive the message. Lord, give us listening ears and listening hearts and minds to hear the message that you bring. Bless you, Alex.
Thank you. Good morning. There are some ministers that are in the practice of saying my text for today is. I haven't been that type of preacher mostly, but today I do actually come to you and say my text for today is. Do not let your hearts be troubled. But I've made a typing error. When I look, and I haven't realised it until I just looked at it, and I've put down here, do now let your hearts be troubled. I do not want to encourage you to be troubled. I want to encourage you this morning not to be troubled. If I were to come to you all this morning, one at a time, and say, you worry too much, I wonder how many of you could turn round and say, no, I don't. I never worry. Anyone going to stick their hand up? I didn't think there'd be many anyway. Let's face it, folks. I don't care how long we have been Christians, we still sometimes worry. And we worry when we shouldn't. And we worry when we don't need to worry. As Christians, we have a confidence in God. You know, God will meet all of our needs. God's got everything in control. We don't need to worry, do we? But we still do. But I want us to think this morning about the two reasons we worry. I'm going to spend most of my time on the second reason. But there are two reasons we worry. The first reason we worry is because we just don't have enough simple faith. I mean, it's a simple reality that God has promised to meet all our needs. He said to his disciples and to the people of his time, you don't need to worry about what you're going to eat and what you're going to drink, all these things. God knows what you need. You can trust him. You don't need to worry about material things. But I sometimes have. Anybody else sometimes have worried about material things? There was a time, I must admit I haven't worried about material things for a long while now, but there was a time when Susan and I had two little, you know, a one-year-old and a three-year-old living in quite a remote part where we needed a car. It was miles to the shops, miles to the doctors, and even further to the church, and we needed a car. And every time we were driving and I heard a funny noise, I started to worry because I couldn't afford a big bill, one smallish wage and four of us. I couldn't afford a big bill, and we had to have a car. And I worried. And often, there was nothing wrong. Sometimes all it needed was a screw tightening or something. And on the odd occasion when there was something quite big, we had enough. I was just being a stupid Christian. And some of you have been there. And some of you have done it. I remember one occasion I was getting quite worried at this peculiar noise the car was making. Tick, 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 tick. And the faster I went, the faster it went. I discovered what it was. There was a particularly large dollop of chewing gum stuck to one of the tyres. There were some bits of stone stuck in the chewing gum. And as the wheel went round, it was going tick, 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 tick. And I'm worrying. And as if God said, don't be so stupid. And often, folks, we worry. We have to realise God knows what you need. And he's not always going to give you what you want, maybe, but he knows what you need, and we don't need to worry about those kind of things. But the other reason we often worry is because we get things out of proportion and things out of perspective. You know, once or twice I have preached here and actually used fruit as an illustration. I'm just going to use fruit as an illustration now. I haven't brought them with me. But recently we have been buying one of some of these big oranges. You know, the big ones, the, what they call the navels. They're so big that often we have half each. We've been having these big, and they're big. But what we've got at home today for our lunch is a melon. One of these big, round melons. So when you put the orange beside the melon, it's not so big after all. And of course, if you go and put the orange beside a beach ball, it's not all that big, is it? And sometimes it's like that with our worries. We get things out of perspective. If only we were to look at the big picture, the things that we worry about, not that big after all. You see, when Jesus said to his disciples, do not let your heart be worried, they were worried about the future. This was just a matter of hours before Jesus was arrested. And although Jesus had tried to explain to them about his death and his resurrection, they didn't know what was going on. What's going to happen over the next few weeks? What's going to happen over the next few months, the next few years? They're worried, what's going to happen? And he says, don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Or in other words, he's saying, don't get so worried about these few years when you've got eternity to look forward to. What might be happening over the next few months, what might be happening over the next few years is very important. But Let's put it in context. Folks, we are the children of eternity. We're not the children of this year and next year. In fact, some of us, a good many of us, have passed our 70 years and 10, and we probably haven't got many more years anyway. And yet we get so concerned about the here and now, and we forget, come on, folks, we're children of eternity. We have a glorious eternal future. And so we get so caught up. And I think one of the reasons we don't think enough about heaven, we don't think enough about the coming again of Jesus and the glorious future which is eternal, one of the reasons we don't think about it enough is because we're so comfortable where we are. Is that true? We're quite comfortable where we are, most of us. You know, we quite like our homes and we quite like our families and we quite like this town and we've got enough of everything and we feel quite comfortable. And so we as Christians in this kind of country, I don't think we think enough about heaven. We don't think enough about eternity. You see, people who have a difficult life, Christians who have a difficult life, give far more attention to eternity. Think of the people that were in slavery in America, what we call the Negro spirituals. A large proportion of the Negro spirituals had something to say about heaven, about eternity. I've just finished listening to quite an old CD, and it's just called Great Convention Songs. And it's the songs that they used to sing at the conventions and the big camp meetings in the southern states of America. You're going back, I think, to the 20s and those kind of era, that kind of era, where people would come together in the huge numbers. I suppose it was the equivalent of Soul Survivor and, the, you know, Spring Harvest and so on. But they would come together, and nearly all these people, they came from poverty. Often there would be families of mum, dad, 7 or 8 kids living in a two-roomed wooden shack. The living room, the kitchen was all in one, and the bedroom was only one. They were coming from poverty. And I've got this CD with 22 songs on it. 9 of them are about heaven. And they used to sing a whole load of songs about heaven and about eternity. But we're so comfortable, perhaps we don't think enough about it. Folks, it's a simple old song, but this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. This world is not my home. And so we get so worried about the next few weeks and the next few months and what's going to happen. Let's look at the bigger picture. I'm going to mention a word now that you are actually fed up with hearing. Brexit. Brexit. The political situation in our country at the moment is horrendous. Last night, another member of the cabinet resigned and left the party. It didn't get as much publicity, but yesterday also one of the Labour MPs who had become independent has now become Liberal. And what on earth's going on? Folks, we ought to be concerned. We ought to be concerned. There are people that are worried that we are going to crash out, as they say, and it's going to be terrible in our country. There are other people, and I've known Christians, who have been praying for years, long before the referendum, been praying for years that we would get out of the EU. So there's people worried that we're going to get out, and there's people that are worried that we're not going to get out, and there's people that are worried that it's going to crash. Folks, we shouldn't be worried. We should be concerned. We should be concerned. And if ever there was a time when we should be praying for those in authority over us, as the Bible says, we should be praying for those in authority over us. But folks, we know the bigger picture. I know who's going to govern and who's going to rule, and his name's not Boris. And his name's not Jeremy, and his name's not Donald. And it's not some group of bureaucrats that meet in Brussels. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and his name is Jesus. And the scripture says, and of the increase of his government there shall be no end. We get too worried about the future. Please, I'm not saying we shouldn't be concerned. We should. We should be concerned. We should be praying. But folks, we shouldn't be worried. We know who's got the future in hand. We know who we belong to. We know where we're going. Let's think of the big picture. And when we think of the big picture, the small picture becomes a bit smaller. It's nothing to worry about. Folks, as Christians, it's nothing to worry about. Please be concerned. Please pray. Whether you think Boris is the best thing since sliced bread or you can't stand the man, pray for him. And others, pray for those in authority. The scriptures, in fact, if we don't pray for those in authority, we're not being obedient to scripture. But don't get in a state over it. We know who wins in the end. We know we've got an eternity under a most glorious king. What's it? The Messiah's not my kind of music, but there's that bit. And he shall reign forever and ever. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Most of you probably know that. And he shall reign forever and ever. Don't worry too much about Jeremy and Boris. Pray for them. Pray about it all. It's easy for me, I didn't vote. I sat on the fence. It's not very comfortable sitting on the fence, so if they have a second referendum, I shall vote. But I sat on the fence first time. But please, folks, please, pray for our leaders. But don't get yourself worried over it. It'll all sort out. At the right time, the Lord's coming back. He'll intervene. It'll all get sorted. There is another big thing which people are worried about at the moment. They're marching with their placards and they're very, very worried. Pollution and global warming. There was quite a big, quite a fair-sized article in the local paper this week. Save the Earth. I've got news for you. We can't. We can't save the Earth. I believe as Christians, we should take seriously the responsibility that surely humanity was meant to care for God's creation. I do believe that we should be careful and we should recycle when we can. We should be careful about the amount of resources we use. I believe we should care because as the earth warms up, more and more people are suffering because of it. But let's get the bigger picture, folks. I don't care what mankind does, we cannot save the world. Let me tell you, on the authority of this book, we cannot save the world. Isaiah 51, verse 6. Lift up your eyes to the heavens. Look at the earth beneath. The heavens will vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment, and its inhabitants die like flies. But my salvation will last forever. My righteousness will never fail. What does it say? The earth will wear out like a garment. Psalm 102, verse 25 onwards. In the beginning, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. Like clothing, you will change them and they will be discarded. But you remain the same and your years will never end. God says this earth will wear out like a garment. Men, got any favourite shirts? It reaches the time when the collars go in, doesn't it? And it may be your favourite shirt, but you've got to chuck it away and get a new one. Ladies, you got any favourite woolens? Do you know, sometimes they get a bit bobbly, don't they? And eventually you realise it's... can't keep wearing that. You've got to chuck it away and get a new one. Revelation 21 and verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. you and I say, that garment's had it, I'll have a new one. And the day is coming when God's going to say, that earth has had it, we'll have a new one. And there will be the new heaven, the new earth, the one united, and we shall live with him forever. Folks, in the same way that I say we should be concerned about Brexit and the political situation, we should be concerned about global warming. But let's look at the bigger picture. We don't need to worry because God said, I'm going to make a new one. I'm going to make a new one where my people will live and reign with me forever and ever. You see, this big problem of global warming isn't such a big problem after all when you put it in the context of the glorious, eternal, new creation that is to come. And you might think, well, those things about the earth, that's Old Testament stuff, isn't it? Well, whoops. Is that the effect of my preaching? I hope not. You see, the things about the earth wearing out. That psalm is quoted again in Hebrews. It's just not an Old Testament concept. It's there in the New Testament as well. The earth's going to wear out. We're getting a new one. We shall live forever and ever. But you see, what I've been saying can only apply if you really have the assurance. If you really have that assurance that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour. You see, the second reading was about the second coming. The Lord is coming again to take his people to be with himself. And I don't know when that is. And there's some of you here who know a little bit about Scripture. And is it going to be pre-trib, post-trib or mid-trib? I don't. But I know he's coming again. And I know I've got to be ready, and I am ready because I know the Lord Jesus Christ is my Saviour and Lord. And that's what we all need to know. And if we have this big picture, if we have this big picture of eternal life, we have this big picture of being part of the family of God. You see, we get concerned about our nation, and we should be concerned about our nation. But what does the Scripture talk to us about? That we are part of a holy nation. You see, your relationship with the King, Jesus Christ, as part of the holy nation, is more important than your relationship with the authorities and the government. That matters. We're meant to pray for the government. We're meant to obey the rulers, etc., etc. But it's our relationship with the Lord that matters. He's going to be your ruler and your King forever. And I don't understand what it means, but we shall reign with him forever and ever. It's amazing. Why do we get so worried about the things of this world? When this world isn't our home, this world isn't our future, this life is not our life. This is just a tiny, the Scripture even describes it as like a little mist. It's just, you know, you get up in the morning and there's a mist, and half an hour later the sun's burnt it off. That's what our life is like. It just lasts a speck of time. And we shall live forever and ever. So we don't need to worry. But I tell you, if you are not sure, if you are not sure of Jesus Christ as your Saviour and Lord, you have every reason to worry. Jesus had as much to say, if not more, about hell than he did heaven. And we need to be aware that there is a heaven to be gained and a hell to be avoided. Jesus is coming again to take his people to be with himself. And it says, and so we will be with the Lord forever. And then it says, therefore, encourage each other with these words. Encourage each other with these words. And my guess is that many of you have come here this morning feeling a bit troubled. And we all admit it, we get that way sometimes. And sometimes we're troubled about little things. For goodness sake, we shouldn't be. God knows what you need. God knows what your problems are. God knows we shouldn't be. And sometimes we get really concerned about what seems like big things. I mean, the political situation in our country at the moment, that is a big problem. Global warming, folks, that is a big problem. But it's not such a big problem when you start looking at the bigger picture. The bigger picture. We're not made for this earth now. We're made for eternity. When sin came in, death came in. But it's been beaten. It's been defeated. Jesus came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You might have it to the full. And folks, you're not going to get life to the full in 70 or 80, 90 years. You're only going to get life to the full in millions of years. A life, a glorious life that will never end. So I want to say to you this morning, if you do know the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, you are sure of your relationship with God. I don't want to say, do now let your hearts be troubled. I want to say, do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You know, the things that we worry and fret about in 1,000 years' time won't matter a scrap. And in 1,000,000 years' time, they certainly won't matter a scrap. And of course, in 100,000,000,000 years' time, they certainly won't matter a scrap. But we get so tied up with this life and these affairs and this going and that going on and what's happening and what's happening. Yes, care. Care about our country. Care about our world. Care about your neighbours. Care about all kinds of things. But folks, keep in mind the bigger picture. We are the children of eternity. We are the children promised eternal life. We are the children who go to enjoy the new heaven and the new earth. Are you looking forward to it?
Yes.
And I think the truth is, most of us are not looking forward to it as much as perhaps we should, because we quite like it where we are. But it's going to be better. I often quote songs, and songs always come into my mind. Years and years ago, I used to go to a church where they were always singing a song which is, "Heaven is better than this. Oh, what a joy and bliss." And so it went on. But the song started, "Heaven is better than this." So when things are at their best in your family, when things are at the best in church, folks, heaven is better than this. Let's keep in mind. The Lord may come and take you today. The Lord may come. I'm not sure about the rapture taking place before the great persecution, but whatever, the Lord may come today. Are we ready? And the things of this world. I think there were 6 of us here who were at Linton yesterday morning. Something called Sing for Joy. Nearly all the songs were modern songs, but we sang, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." This morning, if you're worried, if you're upset, take it to the Lord. If you want other people to pray for you, there'll be a prayer ministry this morning. I'm quite happy to stay in a bit and maybe pray. And I'm not coming you to someone this morning and say, "Oh, of course, I never worry." But I'm coming you to say this morning, I confess I sometimes worry. Sometimes I let my heart be troubled. But Jesus is coming again. Encourage each other with these words. Do not let your heart be troubled.
To leave a comment on the sermon, please go to minehead-baptist.com/sermons. Well, thank you once again for listening, and I'll speak to you soon.